Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we have a very cold snap, as we all know, and it's hard not to be just a little bit concerned for our delicate flower beds and the outdoor shrubs and so on. So we want to know how we can best protect our precious gardens and plants and window boxes from the onslaught of freezing temperatures, snow, ice and blustery winds. And that's why gardener Mary Staunton is here. You're very welcome.
Yes, thank you here. Very much.
We're all a little bit, aren't we?
We're all a bit worried, aren't we?
Well, it's just you look out and you go, well, I'm not even going to think about that garden for a while now.
And that's the thing to do. Just don't think about it, because those plants are very well capable of looking after themselves at the minute, especially the bulbs that you've put in. Because if you went deep enough and you did it in kind of October, November.
If you did what Mari told you to do, is what she's saying.
If you did it in October, November, you would have got them into the ground and would have been easy enough. Now it's going to be difficult. So if you're still got bulbs to be planted, just put them into pots. And then you can slot them in when needed into into the ground or into bigger pots.
But the ones you've already done, even if they're outside, are they
perfect?
Okay?
They're absolutely perfect. They are intelligent. They aren't going to make themselves, present themselves until the time is right. Snowdrops would have been up pre-Christmas, and there's different varieties, so they'll just come along. They're tiny little things, so they just wait and they detect the tiniest either drop in temperature or a few degrees higher in temperature, and then they'll flower. Daffodils.
I brought some in.
Little
ones.
Look, they're gorgeous. So little snowdrops. And snowdrops are one of those things. You can go to Altamont in Carlow, you can go to Belfield in Offaly. So this is the time, at the end of the month now, they'll be all open.
And the lovely displays.
The most beautiful, swathes of snowdrops to be seen. Absolutely gorgeous. But daffodils can flower pre-Christmas until April. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a long run in there.
So this cold snap doesn't bother the daffodil,
does it? Not at all. Not at all. The ones that are meant to come up in the cold will come up in the cold. You'll see crocus kind of poking through, even through snow, you'll see crocus poking through snow. And then the ones, the tulips will wait and wait and wait. And then when it's their time in kind of April time, they'll make their presence felt. So don't be worrying about the bulbs. And in fact, if you haven't planted them, just put them into pots and then they'll be ready to slot in. So they're not the ones I would worry about. What I would worry about is if you thought yourself living, you were in, the Mediterranean, you thought yourself, oh, I'm going to get very unusual tropical plants. They're the ones to be worried about now, because they aren't used to minus 8, minus 5 and all of that.
So how are they doing today?
Well, I'm looking out at tree ferns and happily I had put the old oak leaves that you've gathered from the garden, you put them in the crown, stuff them into the crown, or barley straw. And that protects them from, it's the fronds underneath. The fronds that are out will be grand. You know, they die off anyway and you cut them back. And then the new fronds will appear when they're ready. And when the heat, when there's a bit more heat in the atmosphere, I suppose you're looking at April, May into June.
So where are you putting the leaves? On the
right
base
in
of
the crown.
Plant.
Right in the crown, in the middle of the centre of the trunk. Mm-hmm. So the new fronds, you can feel them. They're already there waiting to come up. So you just cover them in the leaves or barley straw or something like that. And they'll be fine. And you will find that there's leaves after dropping in there already. So, that's nature's
way
of protecting.
That's enough to protect them.
Yeah. Now, you can put fleece around the crowns. And if you're in a particularly cold area that gets down to minus 10, 15, that's what you'll have to do. Put a horticultural fleece around them as if you're putting a bandage around the top of them.
Right. But you're not worried about the base of the plant where
no.
the root is?
No, I'm not at all.
Okay.
The worst thing you can do at the moment is go out and think you have to water pots, because there is hygroscopic water in the soil, and it's there for, it's infiltrating the soil and it's giving enough moisture to anything that's in the pot. Don't go out and start watering pots, because if you get another freeze, two things are going to happen. You're going to freeze the roots and you're also going to crack your lovely pot if it isn't one of those pots that's indestructible. Sometimes we get these gorgeous pots in from Italy and stuff, and they have a kind of a skim glaze on the outside to make
beautiful.
Them look really, and they're lovely in Italy, but here when we get these sort of temperatures, it tends to crack and kind of fall off.
Right, you don't want
so
that.
Don't water.
So that's interesting, that if you do water them, you might just freeze the root. So you're going to kill the plant potentially.
Just leave them. Mm-hmm. They don't need any interference from you other than you sitting in your armchair today looking outside and going, next week will do me grand, I'll get out there.
So anything else we should be doing then, or any other plants that need special care? So what do you use the old net curtains for?
So I would, I've got a couple of plants called Schefflera. You'd see them as house plants sometimes in the house, but there are ones that survive outside. And they have a yellow dust or an orange dust on the trunks and on the branches. And that's because they don't like water. But freezing temperatures, now they probably would survive, but I just throw an old net curtain over them just if the frost is kind of, if it's going to be like last night and the night before, and just keeps the frost at bay. Similar thing you could do for when your apples, plums usually are first, you know, to come in, or cherries. If frost is, you can get a mad frost in kind of April time, just put some sort of a fleece, horticultural fleece, or an old net curtain if you don't have horticultural fleece on the young tree. Because if the frost gets the buds that are going to become, to be pollinated, that are going to become the fruit, they're gone.
Okay.
So they're gone
for
this year.
The frost will blast them.
They'll be gone.
Throw something over
Something over them, yeah.
I'm a bit worried about the plants inside because I'm mean with the heating generally.
Honest to goodness.
But, yeah. But in these temperatures, obviously you need to ramp up the heat in your house, right? Mm. So are we damaging what we have inside?
Not really. If the worst thing that can happen is a draft for plants. So if you're looking at orchids and stuff like that, a draft at the door. So you were talking about poinsettias. We talked about poinsettias before Christmas.
Yeah, now I expect that to be looking a bit wilty at this stage, which it is.
Sad. And they like the heat. You know, they like life in Florida. They're out in the middle of the big urbanisations, the big roundabouts, all the poinsettias looking gorgeous, and they like the heat. But what they don't like is a blast of a draft of a door opening, and then they get.
That's what I'm doing to that. Yeah, you see, that's what it is.
Move it somewhere away from the draft and out of direct kind of sunlight. And the same applies to orchids because they're pretty finicky about the drafts.
They don't like the drafts either.
They don't like the drafts.
Okay. Yeah. I better get to some questions. And the WhatsApp number, if people still want to get in touch, is 0870 32 32 32. Please ask Murray how to protect globe artichoke plants.
Globe artichokes are, you know, mine are gone at this stage. And the crown then is on the ground. So again, barley straw. So barley straw is a great one for anything like that. And if you have a guinea pig or anything like that, because we used to have a guinea pig called Sparky, and we used to have barley straw, and barley straw was then used for
mulching the plants.
So in the likes of the Botanic Gardens, they will use on the dahlia tubers and stuff like that, they will use bales of straw to protect them from, and it's more from the wet and the cold, but wet will do more damage to tuberous plants than
the frost
cold will. So barley straw.
Is it better, asks Rachel from Cork, to leave all dead foliage in the garden until the warmer weather to support the insects and animals who are overwintering there?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm telling all of you to, you know, clean the leaves off the grass and all, and that is important to get the leaves off the grass because otherwise you're going to have loads of moss. Mm-hmm. But everywhere else, just leave them. You know, don't get overly concerned about being overly tidy in those sort of situations. The daffodils and the tulips and all those things will push through, but you're giving a nice little warm environment for insects, and if you are lucky enough to have, you know, badgers or hedgehogs or anything like that, you know.
Okay, so leave them there for that. Now, this is, as we go on, this is getting better because we're sitting in the armchair now for a lot of
lovely.
This is great. Yeah. So a listener in North Cork would like to know about a Moe's Toes tree that they sat in August. How do I protect this in the ground?
Moe's Toes, I have one as well. I got,
think it's frost sensitive.
It might well be where they are. So, the horticultural fleece, just, you don't have to wrap it in anything, just fling it over. You know, it's a very light affair, the horticultural fleece. What it does, it just keeps the frost off the top of the plant. Mm-hmm. So Moa's Toes, I have one, a very interesting plant with beautiful leaves, and it also kind of is evergreen. So just put a little horticultural fleece over it.
Moa's Toes. I love roses, says this listener. I'm trying to plan my purchases for the coming year. Are David Austin roses in a league of their own, or are other lesser known brands as healthy and reliable?
David Austin has the name, obviously, and they're bred to be either disease resistant, or they have a wonderful perfume. Mm-hmm. Some other roses that you can buy. I mean, if I like the look of a rose, I'll buy any variety and any label. It doesn't matter to me.
But you have green fingers, you see, so.
But roses, I mean, you know that the old saying is let your worst enemy at your roses, because it's very hard to kill a rose. If you're too, we were talking earlier about being too nice to your plants, mm-hmm. you know, overwatering them and looking at them and, you know, worrying about them. The plants will do their own thing. If you just stop kind of thinking about, you know, that you have to get out there and water and look after too much, they know when it's time to flower. They know when it's time to produce new buds. That's their job. Roses are particularly easy to look after, provided you give them an open shape. What they don't like is to be all constricted in the middle. So if there's any kind of crossing branches, take them out. But any variety of rose will be gorgeous.
So you're saying to that listener, buy the rose that you like.
Buy the rose that you like, absolutely. Mm. I mean, and she can also take cuttings off her roses as well. So, you know, you're buying, say you buy a particularly expensive rose, and they can go up to €50, you know, they're expensive.
The good ones, yeah.
You can always take cuttings off those then, because it's a clone of the plant, mm-hmm. and then produce your own. So if you like that particular one and you want a kind of a bed of that particular colour, then take cuttings off those roses next year in kind of October, November, and then you'll have your own little
figure
supply.
Out how to do it, yeah. and so it might work
if
for you.
If you're buying good, buy one and then take loads of cuttings.
Now, this listener, we're all about thrift. Yeah. This listener is thinking of moving trees that have been growing in the garden for the past 10 years. Okay. They're big now, they're 10 foot high. Yeah. What do you recommend?
Okay, so you're going to prepare them now for moving next year. You can't move them now because what's happening is all the roots are spread out. Mm-hmm. So they're in the ground 10 years. So they're spreading out and they've gone down a good bit. So what you're going to do is dig a trench around a good kind of 2 foot out from the main trunk. Dig a trench, and that way you're severing the roots that are going out that way.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll concentrate in a ball around the trunk now. So dig out the trench about spade depth, spade width, and then you're going to backfill that trench with really good compost. So now the little roots are growing in a ball, and that'll be much easier for you to lift in November of next year. So you're preparing today.
So give us next year. What, a year, 11 months or so, yeah. with the trench around it.
With the trench around it, and you've backfilled the trench now. So those roots are grown in a nice little ball. If you ever see plants coming in from Italy or you buy bare rooted trees, they're in hessian and they're in a big ball. That's how they're lifted. And then the little root hairs, see, it's the ones that are little fine little root hairs. They're the ones that are doing the real hard work of getting out there and getting you know, food and water. If you're planting a tree after disturbing it, so you've done that and next year you're moving it, there is a thing called, it's like root growth. So what it is, it's like it's almost like a fungus. Latches onto the little roots in that ball and it spreads out and brings back the water and the food mm-hmm. for the tree. So it's kind of, you just dust it on the roots. Very right. good.
Okay, well, you yeah. need to start now yeah. and be ready in a year's time yeah. to move them. With the ongoing cold snap, is now a good time to deadhead my winter pansies, or could it harm them?
Ah, no, I should deadhead them. They'd be grand. There's new little flowers waiting underneath. It's like cyclamen now. So cyclamen this morning would have been, you know, the red ones you get at Christmas, they would have been all flopped all over the place looking dreadful. But underneath the leaves, there's new little ones coming. So maybe wait till tomorrow after. I think it's going to thaw and we're going to get, you know, a bit of milder weather.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So, you know, sit down, relax.
For one
listen
more
to
day.
The radio yeah. and get out then maybe at the weekend and do all of that.
Yeah. Simon wants to know when he can cut back the magnolia.
Magnolia, you're leaving it now. You're not going to touch it now.
Simon, sit down, yeah. Yeah, get more tea.
Good God, yes. Yeah,
when
down.
Do you do that?
You can do it after it finishes flowering. So you're looking at kind of May time for magnolia, and then any crossing branches. If you're taking out a number of branches, do it over a 3-year period. So take out maybe 2 branches this year, 2 next year, if you want a more open shape. Mm-hmm. Magnolias generally don't need pruning unless they're in the wrong place, maybe up against a wall when they should be given that massive space in the middle of the garden to show off their bouquet, if you like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Simon, you can sit down and relax. Stand. Most people can sit down and relax,
yeah, exactly.
actually,
yeah.
Mari, given
Aren't
what you've
I
said.
Came in now?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We're going to put the kettle on.
You're welcome.
Mari Staunton, thank you very much.
Thank
we
you.
We will take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.